Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, and today we're going to have a very interesting program. My first guest is Benjamin Mahesh Bridges, and he is famously known for producing the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. But in addition to that, Benjamin is a community activist. He is a person who lectures on healing and alternative modalities to healing. And he is also a teacher, a meditation teacher, and is working to heal the community here in New York City, and I'm sure across the globe. But I know that, Benjamin, I want to welcome you. And I know that you have a focus for working with what might be described as inner city youth, Black, Puerto Rican, and young people who maybe don't get access to some of the benefits of meditation and holistic healing. And you are working in the communities up in Mount Vernon, Westchester area. So I want to say hello and welcome Benjamin Bridges to Heart of Mind Radio.
Yes, and thank you for having me on your show. And yes, actually, that is true. You know, we do have a program dealing with the youth right now that has been very helpful. And basically, one of our programs that we deal with is called Stop the Violence Youth Conference. We've been having that. Mm-hmm. This will be our ninth year this coming September in the school
wow.
system. We're in the high schools and also in the junior high schools in Mount Vernon. And basically, we address some of the problems that have happened in the past with the gang violence and everything, and we have been able to, you know, have a large impact on really getting them to come to a better understanding that we don't need to kill one another to have bragging rights or to get ahead, you know, in the selling drugs and foolishness like that. So anyway, bottom line is that, you know, dealing with Stop the Violence Youth Conference, we've had speakers from California, from, you know, New Jersey, of course, New York, and Philly, and Atlanta, all, you know, different parts of the country. And there have been youth activists that have come and spoken to the youth and have really helped to change the attitude of the youth tremendously. Now, with the meditation, the piece is also something that has a huge play on the consciousness of the youth, because when you start to focus on telling people to go within and how whatever you see without has a reflection on what is going on within, and that's one of the things that, you know, we try to convey to them and to really try to seek that inner peace, get rid of the stress and anger issues that can be riding different people's backs. And it helps tremendously with getting one's focus. And, of course, one of the things we have to keep in mind, it is non-religious, because you can't bring religion into public schools because it goes against the law. But this mm-hmm. is strictly on helping them to get a better focus, to get rid of anger, tension, stress that many times can explode into a verbal argument or even a physical situation where one can pull out a knife or a gun and get carried away. So we try to make sure that we get rid of that negativity. And in so doing, it has a huge effect on them being able to get into their academics, and also for those who are athletes, it helps them to also get into their athletic ability and sharpen that as well.
Beautiful. Can you give us some examples of the turnaround that you have experienced in the public school systems?
Yeah, sure can. There was one young lady that was a part of our group, and it was very interesting with her because she wanted to be a cheerleader. And in her wanting to be a cheerleader, she was trying out for the cheerleading squad in Mount Vernon. And what ended up happening was there was a lot of people that tried out at the same time as she was trying out. So they were cutting loose quite a few folks here and there that were trying to because there was too many. And she was, of course, really concerned about whether she was going to make it or whether she was going to be cut. So she remembered an affirmation that we do in the meditation, which is called see it, believe it, and you will achieve it, you know. Mm-hmm. And her saying that at one point, because she's like really nervous about getting cut from the cheerleading squad, she said, well, you know what, I'm going to start saying this affirmation. I'm going to really see myself already on the cheerleading squad, and I'm just going to keep doing it. And so she did. She started saying the affirmation to herself. She started visualizing, you know, how we teach them how to visualize yourself already accomplishing your goal and really believe it. Believe that you have really made it, right? And what ended up happening, the head of the cheerleading squad came up to her and said, you know what, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to be a regular person on the squad, I'm sorry. She said, really, I really wanted to be on this. Are you sure I can't? She said, I'm sorry, you can't. But she said, what I will do is allow you to be the head of the cheerleading squad. You're going to be the head of the cheerleading squad. And she said, wow, the head of the cheerleading squad? Are you kidding? I'm going to be. She said, yes, you're going to be that, you know. And she said she couldn't believe it because the way that she was telling her, it sounded like she was getting ready to cut her loose, but in reality, she allowed her to be the cheerleading squad head, you know. So it was like really something that was like really made her very happy. So she came back and told me and my wife what happened and how the affirmation really worked. It really worked. And she was so happy to see that actually occur in her life, you know. So that was, you know, something I was really happy to see. And just recently, we had one of our teachers, she told us from just last school year that, you know, one of the students that was really not really even into the academics in her class at all, you know, he would just come and clown around in the classroom, you know, be on the phone and, you know, just cause a little disturbance sometimes in the classroom. And how, you know, he started to get involved with the meditation program we had. And when he started getting involved with the meditation program, she said she saw a shift in his consciousness on how he started acting. He actually started to come early into the classroom for, you know, for her class and try to, you know, help her and, you know, with, you know, getting things prepared for the classroom, and how he started getting involved with really focusing on getting into the academics and everything. And she just said that she saw a huge difference in him, you know, really becoming a real student that was trying to do better in the class, and how his academics actually did improve, because he had a whole shift in his attitude and everything. But before, he was just, I almost call it a problem, but he was a challenge, you know, in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And then he just changed and became somebody that was really focused in trying to improve himself, you know, academically.
So how does the meditation program work inside of the school curriculum? How are the students able to access it?
Well, basically what it is that we have two things that are happening. One is that we can't say, okay, each student, if you would like to, you have to choose between meditation, math, science, or history. Which one would you like? You know, it's not like that, you know, because these are regular classes that they need to take in order to get credits to actually graduate. So you can't pull them out of any already established classes that are there in the school. But what we do, we come during lunchtime. And during lunchtime, it's up to them. It's not something that they have to do. It's something that, you know, if they want to participate, they can. And in so doing, what happens is at lunchtime, after we do the meditation with them, we actually have a lunch to give them. So we give them a free lunch. They don't have to pay for it or anything. And we have sponsors that come and help us out, and they, you know, actually give us the funds so that we can carry on with our program, and allows us to have them do the meditation and also give them a free lunch. And This has caused, you know, a huge amount of kids to come forth as well, because in the beginning we were doing it without the free lunch. We were only getting like 3 or 5 kids in the class, and we were like saying, what the heck is going on? Nobody really wants to meditate, you know? It was so funny because one of the teachers came forth and said, you know what? I got an idea. No, not a teacher. It was a principal. I'm sorry. It was a principal, Mr. Burks, and he was saying, you know what? I got an idea. You guys could actually, you need a hook. You need something that could really draw them into the program. And why don't you give them, something that you know they would like maybe a free lunch or something like that. I said, that's an idea, but you know how much it would cost to give a free lunch, you know, to all these kids? So, yeah, well, mm-hmm. You know, you never know. See what happens. So we went out into the community, and we asked different people, you know, and the brother that was actually working with us, his name is George Quant, and actually mm-hmm. he works with BAI as well.
Yeah.
Yes, Brother George Quant was working with us, and he said, listen, I have found a sponsor for you that will come up with the money for the free lunches and for the program. And, you know, let's put my meditation, and it's his meditation program. Let me not forget that part, because he was the one mm-hmm. that initiated the program with us. And what ended up happening was that he actually found a sponsor that was willing to put the money up. And when he did that, we went into the schools, and instead of it being 3 to 5 kids, it ended up being like 45 kids in the classroom. It was too many kids in the classroom, so we had to let some of them go, and we had to have different segments of time that we would do the program, and some of the kids would have to come back in the next segment or the next class session that we would have. So that's how
wow.
it was actually working.
Mm-hmm. How important is it, or is it vital, that there be a principal in the school that also supports this idea?
Oh, well, it has to be something that, you know, is very important, because the thing about it is, when you have a principal that supports something like this, it's going to be able to change. So, I mean, we have been able to get students that have went from failing grades, students that don't give a darn about school, they're just going in there to hang out and have fun with their friends, to students that now are concerned about possibly going to college or starting their own business. But we try to focus on either one of those. If you want to start your own mm-hmm. business, we'll talk with you about doing a business plan. If you want to, you know, just get into the the aspect of really improving your grades so that you could go to college. This is, so these are things that we try to promote. And it really helps. It really works because these kids start to see that vision and they start to really feel the sincerity that they can make it work, that they could change their life. But a lot of them, you know, have really given up hope on trying to do things and becoming successful or trying to achieve anything in their life. And that's not good, you know. So when you actually can get them to change that attitude of failure, change that attitude of I'm not worthy of success, all that kind of stuff, and you get rid of all of that and replace it with confidence and courage and an attitude of I know I will and I know I can, it really will change a big difference in the academic status of what you see in the schools, as well as the fighting and even the killings that go on. When you start to love themselves, that's another thing that we really focus on as well, because there's too much self-hatred amongst our youth, which is another problem. And that self-hatred is what was causing, you know, so many murders around the country with the gang violence. I mean, I never knew that in 2014, the numbers of kids that were killed just in Chicago alone, it was like about 525 children that were killed. It was ridiculous. And they did a study on that, and it showed that three major wars that had killed so many people, that within a year's time in Vietnam, I think they said the highest was like the people that were killed, like about 425 people. They said in Afghanistan, which, you know, Americans have been involved in for a while, they said out of a year, the highest amount of people were like about 450. And they said in Iraq, they said it was like about 485. But here we have wars that go on in our own community, taking the lives of so many of our children. And in Chicago, 520, more than three major wars that we've experienced in our lifetime. Our kids are killing themselves that much. And it's not because they love each other. It's just the opposite, unfortunately. It's that self-hatred that has been poured into their consciousness through, to be honest with you, this society that, you know, many times will put out a lot of negative things, you know, counselors, teachers sometimes, and, you know, people that, you know, even family members sometimes, they will, you know, say things and do things that will drop that negativity of really feeling that self-hatred within them. And then the problem with that is if you have no regard for yourself, no love for yourself, and you see someone that looks just like you as far as your culture, then you won't respect them or love them either. As a matter of fact, you'll have that self-hatred for them. So when it comes time to pull that trigger, it's very easy to do.
Wow. So that's a very powerful message, Binyamin. What is the name of your organization again?
Well, our nonprofit
the program.
Is called the School. Yeah, oh, the program? Our program is called IQ Meditation, but, you know, it's under the umbrella of Parents for Enhancing Human Value.
Mm-hmm. And is there a way if people want to connect with what you're doing and maybe duplicate it where they are that people can connect with you to learn more about this?
Yeah, definitely. This is a program that needs to be honest with you, across the country. They do have some meditation programs, from what I understand, in different parts of the country and different cities, but it's not enough. There's only a few, and we need to have more of this happening. And for those people that say, oh, meditation is religion, they're going to try to sneak with it. Not a word about religion is being mentioned. We're just focusing on trying to raise the consciousness of the kids, get that stress and anger issues off of their back, and get them focused to seeing that they can be very successful, very happy, and have a real positive and productive life. And that's what our real focus is, you know. And when people can start to see that, they can start to make the change for these students in different schools, you know. Because a lot of areas that are having the gang violence and things. They need to have these type of programs there so they can counteract the problems that they're dealing with. But yes, I would be more than happy to sit down with people and we could spread. The only thing that we're missing right now, and the only reason why, we've already had quite a few people from different schools and places and community centers say, yo, we want you to come, but they don't have the money to support what we're trying to do. And we need the funds for the food. We need the funds, you know, for the, to feed the children. We need the funds so that we can actually have people from our program to come to their location. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to sit down with. But, yeah, if anybody is interested in that, can I give a number with it at the beginning?
Yeah, a number or email, however you want people to connect with you.
Okay. Yeah, the number where I could be reached at is 914-979-6372. Again, that number is 914-979-6372. You can reach me at that number, and if you're interested, you could call me, and we can discuss, you know, possibly getting started in your community, at your school, with the meditation program. And another aspect of what we're looking at with the meditation program is spiritual unity in the community. In that aspect of the meditation, we're looking at focusing on coming together, regardless what religion you're in, regardless of your spiritual focus, and just coming together and praying, meditating, and fasting, you know, on the healing of our community and of ourselves, you know, because, I mean, even myself, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm meditation master that's God realized, because I'm not yet, but I'm working, a work in progress. But what I will say is that's what we need in the community in general. You know, we need folks that are working on improving themselves and stopping the violence and the self-hatred and negativity that's in our community. We got folks selling drugs. We got folks, you know. So, and not to say that there's not anything positive going on in our community. There is. But when you're looking at improving a situation, you can't be looking at all the positive parts. Well, like you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, okay, tell me, he doesn't say to you, tell me what are the good things about your body right now. Oh, well, all my joints are working, this, that, and the other. He doesn't ask you all of that. He asks you what is your problem in order for you to heal the problem. The problem in our community is that we need to change this through spiritual energy that we have in within ourselves. We have the innate ability to visualize. Just like the young lady did. She saw it, she believed it, and she was able to achieve it. We can do the same thing. See our community with no more violence. See our community without having the drugs. See our community instead of in poverty, in prosperity. And I'm not saying everybody in our community is in a state of poverty, but poverty does exist in our community. I'm talking about getting rid of it. And we can end it by visualizing it and seeing it. And I know some of you guys are saying, yeah, right. But you know what? I have experienced seeing the power of prayer and meditation happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the funny thing about it. I know a lot of you out there have as well. But on a collective whole, we have not come together in unity to focus, because if one person can bring about something positive for themselves and doing something in the community, imagine what 1,000 people can do if they're focusing. Imagine what 500 people can do. So much can be done, but we just need to come together on that same note, that same focus, that same goal, and we can actually make it a reality.
Yes, I so agree with you, and I have been thinking about a lot of the activism that's taking place right now in communities of color, poor communities, and, you know, including the Black Lives Matter movement. And I have felt to some degree that these movements are maybe righteously focused on the anger at the inequities, but it does need the balancing aspect of bringing unity within the group in terms of, as you're speaking, caring, bringing that sense of helping each other to a new and a higher level, because I feel that too often the protesting, while I believe it's vital and necessary, can sometimes engender anger and more frustration. And it would be lovely if there could be a pairing of these two forces together of bringing the spiritual unity back into these movements. In the days of Martin Luther King Jr., if you even go back to Gandhi, there was a spiritual component to the political action, and it made it very successful. So I think that this is something that we can begin to really look at on a very broad scale. And, you know, I'm very encouraged by the work that you are doing in New Jersey. And I think that this is something that many people would want to participate in and try to create this in their own world, in their sphere of influence. So I'm really happy that you're bringing this to our awareness. And there is another thing that you were speaking of, we're just about out of time, but you were also talking about the importance of holistic healing, holistic health, natural remedies, and empowering ourselves in that way. Do you want to give a few comments about that component of what you do?
Yeah. Again, you know, one of the big problems that our people have is that they are, you know, really attached to pharmaceutical medicine. And pharmaceutical medicine many times has terrible side effects. Not all of it, but the problem is you need to know, if you're going to take it, what are the side effects, you know? And a lot of times people don't ask because their doctors don't mention it to them. So they just figure, oh, okay, it must be all right, you know? But you can't go for that. You have to know. But even better than that is if you can find an alternative altogether, because it may not have a side effect right away, but over taking certain medicines for over a certain period of time, it can have a very serious side effect on you. But anyway, one remedy that I just ran across, herbal remedy, it has black seed oil in it. It is, you know, awesome. It has different seeds that from different parts of the world that they've put together and made it into a herbal formula. And it has been able to cure a lot of different problems that people have had. You know, people that were suffering from diabetes, people that even had cancer, and people that were dealing with high blood pressure. You know, and a lot of people in our community had high blood pressure and diabetes, but the high blood pressure even more so. They say one out of every three people, you know, in this country has high blood pressure. But one thing for sure is that we need to address those things. But the product that we were really looking at is a product that is called Soul Product. And it's very good for being able to heal situations with those problems. And also, it also deals with pain as well. And as you know, the way that people deal with pain remedies is that, you know, they take these addictive pain medicine that causes so much of a problem that it really brings about, you know, addictiveness. You know, they may get rid of the actual problem that they're dealing with, at least for the pain relief, but what ends up happening is that it really causes some serious problems down the line. Because once you become an addict or addicted to this pain relief medicine, it's a problem. But this, like I said, the name of the product is called Soul, and it is really, really good. If anybody is interested in that, they can reach me at this number again, and that's 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372.
Excellent. And we're just about out of time, but the next time we get together, maybe we can go deeper into the aspect of nutrition and natural health, because I think people rely so much on the prescribed medications that they don't recognize how much they can be empowered by healing their bodies with natural remedies and with activity, different things they can do to heal. So I want to thank you very much for joining me today. Yes, please.
We are doing a meditation program right now for adults as well. So, again, if anybody is interested in joining us with that for the spiritual unity in the community, we would be more than glad to have you come on board. And, again, last time, my number is 914-979-6372. And I just want to thank you, my sister, for having me have this opportunity to share this information with people. And, you know, I really do appreciate you opening that door for this information to be shared.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm hoping that what you're doing can grow, because you're right, it's young people that need help, but also their parents and grandparents, and as we build this support within communities, then we're going to have a stronger world. So thank you very much for all the work that you're doing, and we'll talk again. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, everyone, you're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. This is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis. Stay tuned. We're going to hear some announcements, and then we'll be back with segment two.
Listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border, down Mexico.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of the Expat Files, living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to the Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check.
It's the VRONX. You know what's next.
It's a bowl of soul. And get your dose of classic soul and independent R&B music from the United States and abroad on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A Bowl of Soul is a music experience you won't forget or regret. Check out A Bowl of Soul on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is PRN, PRN for the Progressive Radio Network.
And welcome back. Welcome back again. This is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis. And in this segment, we're going to have a very interesting conversation with Hatika Haru, and he is a spokesperson for the Earth Center and the MTAM School, a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting and preserving chem culture. And we're going to be speaking about some upcoming opportunities to attend some of the graduations that are coming up and really go to an opening, an orientation for the initiation process. But first, I want to say hello and welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. It's an honor to be here and to be able to speak with the public and everyone.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome. I'm so happy. So happy to have you. Did I pronounce your name correctly? How do I pronounce it correctly?
Yes, it's pronounced Hati Kaheru.
Hati Kaheru. Thank you. What does it mean?
Hati Kaheru means the manifestation of the spirit of Heru.
Ah,
beautiful. And Nejita, which is the generational name, means the protector of the father. You know, and in this case, the father is Wizard, the god of goodness.
Beautiful. And so it's so lovely to speak with you. And I think you are someone who could really share with people the value of becoming involved in this whole process and coming to understand traditional chem culture and how it's still relevant today. In fact, I can't think of anything more helpful to people than to understand truly the first civilization and that teaching. Can you tell us a little something about how it's made a difference for you?
Well, yes, of course. I want to greet everyone. You know, I want to give thanks before I start speaking.
Okay.
To my ancestors for allowing me to be present here. And give thanks in special to the prophet Nebnawala Musa, who is the one who brought all this knowledge for us, the one who made it available for the people in this side of the world who is suffering, you know, from different illnesses. It can be mental, physical, spiritual. So I want to give thanks. And, yeah, we can start. Well, this classes have helped me a lot, you know. I come from a very turbulent background. And it wasn't until I found this Earth Center classes that I started putting my life together, you know, that I started to see the meaning of life. What I mean by this is that when you grow up within this culture, you grow up with confusion, because every human being in existence has a purpose in life. But you would only know that if you're coming from the traditions, you know. Since a baby is born, you already know what the name of that person is going to be, for example, because the name of that human being is going to reflect that person's destiny. And so in this modern society, we get our names really from our parents based on what they like, you know. It's kind of like how you would name a pet, you know. You may give a pet a name just because you like that name, mm-hmm. without really knowing what the destiny, what the purpose of that human being coming to this existence is. And so in traditional cultures, you know, every human being gets the name that they got to have in order to be successful in achieving their goals in this lifetime.
Mm. So, and can you explain to people how that process works as it relates to the initiation that happens through the Earth Center at M-Town School? How does that work, that a person goes in after being programmed through our modern culture and that journey to, at the other end, to be connected to their soul purpose?
So the person that is seeking truth, you know, might end up at the doors of the Earth Center without even knowing. I got there because some friends brought me, and as soon as I stepped in, I felt this, like, good energy there. But I didn't know anything about spirituality back then. It just felt, like, at peace. For the first time in my life, I felt at peace, so I kept going back. And after receiving the classes, the more I learned,
the more I realized that I really didn't know anything about none of this. So the way it works is you go there and you try to put all of the knowledge that you have gained all throughout your life, you put it aside because, like I said before, it's coming from the colonial leaders. You put that knowledge aside. You don't throw it out. You just put it aside. You step in. You receive now the knowledge coming from traditional people, the knowledge coming from your ancestors. And once you get that knowledge, then you can go back and compare it with what you was taught in this society. And for me and many more, you realize that really what we learn in here in this society is just to fit in, to continue to move the wheel of the power of the ones on top. So in this society, the way we are educated is to keep the system successful. But in traditional education, you get educated so that you, the individual, can evolve as a human being. So in other words, you will receive the tools that you need to work on yourself, to fix yourself, to heal yourself, and then take it from there.
Mm-hmm. And so give us an idea of what the process is like. I you know, attended the Earth Center for a time. I didn't graduate, but I have a great deal of respect for it. So can you explain how this is, as an initiation, a little bit different than just going to some school and taking a few classes?
Yes, definitely different. It's very, very, very difficult. It's very challenging, like I said, because it's going to challenge every aspect of you. Like, it's going to challenge all of your defects. It's going to challenge everything. Like, even in initiation and in history, our ancestors in initiation, and still up until this day, your teacher will give you a nickname based on your biggest weakness, but it's just to help you. So it's very difficult for someone to start and finish because not everybody is ready yet to go through all the challenges. You know, it's going to challenge the way you eat. It's going to challenge the way you think. It's going to challenge everything about yourself. But I can say that it's very rewarding at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an easy task. It's not a place where you just go and memorize some literature, then you go take a test. You might pass or not pass the test. It's not like that. You will be receiving knowledge that then you can apply into your life and see the benefit of it. If you just receive the knowledge and you don't apply it, it wouldn't work.
Well, and yeah, because it's about a fundamental transformation. So I can understand, and I remember that it was indeed challenging, but worthwhile. And so can you also talk about the teachings, the different categories? Because I know there's the Medu and what are the three categories of teachings that are taught in the beginning stages of the initiation process?
Yes. So one of them is the Medu language, which is the first language known to humanity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in this class, you would have 2 hours of class divided in two sections. The first section will be the history. And then the second portion will be the technical aspect where you will learn how to read, speak, and write the Medu language, which is in modern world what we call the hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like...
Yeah. That's very important, because people don't realize that this is a living language. It's not just a stale marking on an old archaeological site, but it's a living, breathing language right now, and people can connect to the wisdom through the language.
Right.
And what else is taught as part of that initiation process?
We also have the Kativi class, which is the meditation class. And as the original form of meditation as practiced by Kemetic priests and worshipers since the pharaonic era. And is where the modern meditation techniques actually come from. You know, things like yoga, qigong, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the spiritual class. So it's also divided into two sections. One is the history, and here you will receive more of the spiritual tools that you need to advance in your spirituality. And then the second portion will be the technical aspect.
Excellent. And the third one is healing, is it not?
Yes.
Learning to use with herbs and things like that?
Yes. And it's very interesting, Vita. I just came back from Merita. In other words, mm-hmm. Africa. Merita is the Medu word for the continent of Africa. I just came back from Africa, and there's actually a temple that is almost done. Being constructed, and is a place for healing, and is available to the world. Is a place
Beautiful.
Where you can go heal yourself, not only physically but spiritually. It's called the Het Aisha. And so, in the soup class here in New York, you will learn about that technique of healing. Is the first level of it, and then once you gain that first level, then you can start apprenticing under healers.
Mm. And that's really beautiful. People may not understand that Master Nava created this center, the Earth Center here in the United States. I believe that there are in various countries as well. I believe it started in Burkina Faso, but it's also in London and in various states. So it's really quite broadly accessible to people who want to find out more. And I say this because we're speaking on the internet, so people are listening potentially across the country and across the globe. So there is access for people who want to do that. But also coming up in New York City, there are two graduations taking place on July 23rd and August 6th from 3 to 5 p.m. and an orientation for people who want to find out more and ask questions, I believe, is August 7th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the New York Earth Center is in Jamaica, Queens, 137-42 Guy R. Brewer Boulevard in Jamaica, New York, 11434. And I'll give out the phone numbers. It's 347-529-1399. And the second number you could call is 917-387-8300. And the website is theearthcenter.org. I wanted to just give that information. We'll give it again when we finish up this conversation. But what can you tell people about these two graduation ceremonies and the orientation about what they will experience if they want to participate?
Yes. So in the graduations, you can come and see for yourself the way that initiation happens in the pharaonic era. You can come and see the first form of purification, and you can come and observe. the whole ceremony as it's done. Now, for orientation, in orientation, you will actually gain access. For a very long period, it's been closed, but you will gain access to initiation. In other words, you will have the opportunity to receive all the tools that we just spoke about, the medu, the meditation, the ka'ibi, the healing. You will have access to all of these classes, and you will have access to join the classes in the orientation. So that is the perfect day to come and ask even further questions, more deeper questions, and then set up a class time for the groups that will come. Just to give you some insight on classes, orientation, and all this, the group of people that will come for orientation, the group of people that will sign up for classes will become a generation. And that generation comes together for a reason. Like I was mentioning at the beginning of the interview, every human being has a mission within this existence. So that group will come together for a reason. And they will become brothers and sisters. And the other difference that these classes have is that here is not about who's the smartest, who's the quickest. It's not about that. It's about that generation learning to interact with each other, learning to support and help advance each other. In other words, the classes would not move until the slowest person is on the level of the rest. So everybody is responsible for everybody. And like I said before, it will be very challenging, but very rewarding.
Excellent. I'm really glad that you were able to convey that, because with it being a traditional process and an initiation, the community aspect of it is something that is not really taken into consideration very often in the Western form of so-called education, I guess I would say. So that's also a really important part of the whole process of initiation and learning this understanding. And we have just a few minutes left. Can you speak to the ancient nature of this tradition? And I know that Master Naba was received his knowledge was handed down for many, many generations. Maybe you can speak to how that happened and so that people can put it all into context.
Okay, so just to give a brief explanation, Master Naba is the bloodline of the prophet, and this bloodline is coming from a clan, the clan of the Dogon. The Dogon are the people or the clan with the highest level of all specialties. For example, the Naba is the bloodline with the highest levels of healing and spirituality. The Naba bloodline worked among sides with the Pharaoh, assisting him since the pharaonic era. So the whole clan of the Dogon has different bloodlines with different specialties. You have the highest levels of astronomy, of mathematics, of agriculture, and so on and so forth. And so the Naba bloodline is the one that deals with the spirituality and the healing aspect. And I just want to say that this knowledge belongs to humanity. It doesn't just belong to a group of people. So everyone is welcome to come. Does not matter your color, shape, age. If you're a human being, the doors are open for you. And
thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just wanted to say thank you, because that's very, very important for people to understand that everyone and anyone is welcome to take this journey with the Earth Center.
Correct. And one of the biggest tools used to help reshape the people is the 77 commandments, which is the code of human behavior, and is actually where the 10 commandments are taken from. The 42 laws of Ma'at are taken from there as well. But the actual number is 77. It's the 77 commandments, the code of human behavior.
And that's also part of what...
With a little story. The story goes back to the Pharaohic era. I'm very bad with names, but there was a pharaoh who gathered all his children. He had 400 plus children, and he asked them all, which one of you think resembles me the most? And they all answer in chorus, me. So he said, good. You are all right. His assistants kind of laughed and asked him, why you told all of your children, 400 plus children, that they all resemble you the most? And he said, without hesitation, he said, because they are not disputing. So then he told his children, go ahead, fill the world, create your clans, create your languages, create your tribes, cities. But just remember one thing. You all agreed that you resemble me the most. So what I want to really say with this is that's the way we got to live life within the earth. Because everybody does things different. You have different traditional cultures all throughout the world that might do things a little different, that might say things a little different, that might even call deities with a different name. But as long as we are all following those 77 commandments, code of human behavior, it's okay. Because the world is so big for everybody to be doing everything the same exact way. I mean, you see it all around. Some people
and we're unfortunately out of time, but you really wrapped it up with the most important message, and I want to thank you so much, Hatik Kaharu, for joining me today, and remind people to call 347-529-1399 or 917-387-8300. Bye for now. Check out the website.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and everyone.
Bye-bye.